If you would, please, let's all stand in the readings, in the reading of God's word this morning. The Bible says, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' Now when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' And then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also.' And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come unto the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." As we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, I would like to bring a simple message to you entitled, "What Gifts Will You Give Christ This Christmas?" Pray with me now. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. God, now I pray that you would bless the proclamation of your word is my prayer. God, I pray that everything that I say, Lord, would come out as you would have it to be. God, I pray that, Lord, everyone in this place knows that I preach out of love for my dear church family. And God, as I bring this message, God, may you challenge our hearts to search them to see what we need to do differently is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Many of us, including myself, have already bought Christmas gifts this year. We've bought them for our spouse. We've bought them for our parents. If you have kids, you've already bought some for your kids, your grandkids. I know I saw Debbie Nicholson yesterday, or a couple days ago, and she said, "This is the last gift that I have to buy." I thought, well, good for you, because I'm not anywhere near that. But anyways, we buy gifts for the people that we love. Why do we buy those gifts? We buy them because we love to see their smiling faces around Christmas. There's nothing that brings me more joy around Christmas than to see my dearly beloved wife open up a gift that I give her. Now, I try to buy everything that she wants. Sometimes I probably don't buy the right things, but you know Annika, she always says, "Oh, thank you so much," you know. But I do that because I love her. You know, and she is great at giving me hints at what she wants. She sends me pictures and, you know, she'll tell me this or that. And so I buy all these gifts to help, you know, to make her happy, to make her glad, you know, to try to make her Christmas. You know, that's what we do. We do that often. And we go to leaps and bounds. We will jump through loops and all those things to get to the gifts that we want. You know, I'm reminded of a movie that I watched. Oh, I used to love watching it as a kid, called Jingle All the Way. It had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. And Arnold his son wanted this some kind of action figure. And he went through everything. The whole movie was about him trying to get it because they sold out in every place in New York. And he went through everything that he could to get to buy this action figure because that's the only thing that his son wanted. And he got in fights. He did all these different things to try to get to this action figure. Why did he do that? Because he loved his son. Now, when we think about the question that I asked this morning, and I said, what gifts will you give Christ this Christmas? Oftentimes, we don't think anything about that subject. We don't think much about that. But see, as we see here in the first Christmas morn, the wise man came from the east, and the wise man brought to Jesus the very best on that first Christmas morning. Now, who were the wise men? From what we understand, they were men from the east, probably Persia. They were very influential men, learning and authority. They were skilled scientists of their day. They knew a lot about philosophy, science, medicine, and astrology. It is thought that they were the priestly order of Persia, the ministers and the advisors to the Persian rulers. And the wise man came to the birthing of Jesus to seek and to find the star that they'd heard for so long. Why did they come? The most significant purpose was to worship the newborn king. And as they came to pay their respects to a child whom they understood was to be the king of the Jews, they brought the very best that they had to the king of the Jews, and that was the presence of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Look with me in verse 11. The Bible says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their eyes, their treasures, they presented unto him gold and frankincense and myrrh. So they went to great lengths to get to Jesus and sacrifice the very best to give to the one they knew that was very important. So my question to you this morning is this: why are we so willing to give our very best to our spouse, to our children, to our grandchildren, and we will go to extreme measures to give to them everything, but when it comes to Christ, we won't give him more than just a little bit? It should be the other way around, you understand? We should be giving our very best to the one that gave his very best in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who came to this world, lived a sinless life, died on the cross, not for him, but for you, and arose again the third day. We should, my dear friends, giving our very best, and what Christ wants is us. He wants ourselves this Christmas. So to reveal to him, that means that he means something to us. And you know, when we are walking with him, living our lives for him, and doing what he has called us to do, you know that puts a smile on his face. Do you realize that you can put a smile on Almighty God's face by just living and serving him? So as we get into the message today, let's ask this question: what gifts will we give Christ this Christmas? And I believe there are two in particular that we need to be giving him this year. There are two gifts that I believe are critical for us to give him this Christmas. The first one, I believe, is the gift of time. The gift of time. You and I have so much time that we are given, and thus we must understand the value of our time and giving of our time to the Lord. Listen, there are many professing Christians that give zero time to the Lord unless it's Sunday morning. Do you know that God wants to hear from you? He longs to hear from you. It's like this. I'm going to use Annika again in my sermon illustration here. If I went all day and did not talk to Annika, I woke up, I didn't speak to her, and as she left for work, I didn't say bye, I love you. I didn't say anything to her. I didn't text her all day while she was at work. I didn't do any of that. And then when I got home, I still didn't talk to her. And then when we went to bed, I still didn't talk to her. How do you think Annika would feel? She'd be very angry at me, okay? In her sweet way, she'd be very angry at me, okay? Now, what is the difference in us not talking to God and us not talking to our spouse? Don't you think that it hurts God's feelings as well when we are not talking to him? When we're not spending time with him? Do you understand that God longs to hear from you? He longs to hear from you. And that's how God feels when we don't talk to him. He is heard. So the ways in which we talk to him or spend time with him are immeasurable. There are many ways that we can spend time with God. There are many ways that we can talk to God. But I believe I would like to share with you four ways in which we can give Christ our time this Christmas. The first one is just spending time in God's word. It's simple. Time in God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And also in 2 Timothy 2:15, as our Awana motto verse says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has given us the word of God in order to live out the word of God. The word of God is our source of strength. It is our source of knowledge, and we should glean to it daily in order to follow him through our lives. And so the question that we must all ask ourselves is this: how much time are we spending in the word of God on a day-to-day basis? You want to show the love to the Lord? Then read his word more often. You want to give him a gift this holiday season? Spend more time in his word. See, when we read the word of God and we meditate on the word of God, then we will live it out in our lives. And we will not only live it out, but we will desire to be more like Christ. This is the question that the Lord challenged me with this week. And man, it whooped me. It did. I'm not going to lie. How many of us, including myself, spend more time reading on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or even the news than we do in the Word of God? How many of us, the first thing that we do when we wake up, we get out our phones and we see what has happened between the time that we've went to bed and the time that we've woke up? That's how addicted that we are to our phones. But God has called us to not be addicted to our phones, not to be addicted to Facebook, not to be addicted to Twitter or anything like that. But we need to be more focused on reading of the Word of God. We shouldn't be worried about the worldly things, but more important things such as how we are to conduct ourselves on a day-to-day basis, and how we understand that is through the Word of God. So if we want to give Christ a gift this Christmas, may we spend more time in his word than on our phone. Secondly, not only do I see the time in the Word of God, but we need to spend more time in prayer. We need to spend more time in prayer. This past Wednesday night, I read Philippians 4:6, and it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we are to pray. We are to pray. We are to seek God's face every day, throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. That means that we are to have we are to live our lives praying about everything. As Paul said there in the prison there, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want you to understand, God always has time for you. Do you understand that you can go to him 24/7, 365? And praise God, he always has time to hear from us. But the problem is, we don't have time for him. Now, why is that? Why are we not praying? Because, my dear brethren, we put things before him in our lives. It's as simple as that. We're all guilty of it. We all allow things to get in our lives. We all allow things to hinder our lives. And we put things in front of our relationship with him. We're all guilty of it at times in our lives. And the problem is, God just wants to hear from you. He just wants to talk with you. You want to hear from him more? Well, pray to him more. If you want to see him speak to you, well, speak to him more. And I believe with all of my heart. Now, there are times that God is silent. And in those times, it's not where we stop praying to him, but it is in those times that we continue to pray and we continue to seek his face. And so you want to give Christ a gift this Christmas? Talk with him more. Speak with him more. You know, we have a song in Good News Club that goes like this. God wants to spend time with you, just you. God wants to spend time with just you. 365 days of the year, God wants to spend time with just you. You know, we need to see the importance of God's desire to spend time with you through the Word of God and through the time of prayer. Prayer is essential in our lives. If we desire to see God move in our lives, we must pray more. If we desire for God to speak to us more, we must pray more. And finally, if we desire to see God answer a prayer, we must be more direct and continuous in our prayer for the Lord to help us. So how much time do you spend praying every day? Do you spend more time praying than you do on the phone? Or are you spending more time on the phone than you pray? Now, thirdly, as we think about giving Christ the gift of time in our lives, not only through the Word of God, not only through prayer, but thirdly, I want you to see through time in the house of God. Time in the house of God. Hebrews 10 and 25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Listen, you want to give God the gift of your time this Christmas, then be in the house of God more. You say, well, Pastor Joe, I'm here almost every Sunday. Well, praise the Lord. Did you know that statistics tell us today that on average, someone that goes to church 1 out of 4 Sundays believe that they are faithful members to the house of God? 1 out of 4. That's bad. That's not what God's called us to do. And you say, well, Pastor Joe, I'm here every Sunday morning. Well, praise God. I'm glad you are. That's awesome. That's great. But you know, we also have church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. Now, I want you to understand what I'm about to say, I do out of love for you, okay? I don't do this out of madness or anger or anything like that. But I want you to understand, when the Bible says not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, it doesn't say not forsake the assembling of yourselves together on Sunday mornings. It doesn't. So when the Word and the Bible teaches us when the doors of the church are open, we should be here. Now, since I've been here, I've been going, can you believe this? February 15th of 2025, almost, I've been here 8 years and 10 months already. That is amazing to me. I can't believe that. But in those 8 years, I have seen something. On average, 70% of you think that we shouldn't have Sunday night service. You say, what do you mean? I voted Sunday night service every other. Yeah, you did. But 70% of you say that we shouldn't have it. Why? Because you're not here. We'll have 320, 330, 340 on Sunday mornings. And it's good that we may have 70 to 75 on Sunday night. Now, why is that? Well, you say, well, I went Sunday morning, that's all I need. You know, the Bible teaches us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I think about also on Wednesday nights. And this is probably going to make some of you parents mad, and you can take it up with the Lord, because I've fought with the Lord to not say this morning because I didn't want anybody mad at me, okay? I'll be honest. But I want to say something with you, and this is what God gave me. You know, on Wednesday nights, you say that is a time that is your time to just sit at home. Well, let's think about this. You have time to do things on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday nights. You know, you have time to take your kids to sporting events. You have time to take them to dance, to ballet, or whatever it may be. But yet you don't have time to be in the house of the Lord on Wednesday nights. It seems to me that you're placing things in front of what is important, and that is to show the importance of Wednesday night services to your children. Also, parents, what kind of example are you leaving your children if you're dropping them off on Wednesday nights for Awanas or youth? You know, what you're saying is that after they get out of youth, Wednesday night is not important. And this was revealing to them that when they get out of youth, it's just okay not to come to church and just stay at home. What kind of message is that sending your children? What kind of message is that sending to God? You're revealing to God that you have time for Him on Sunday morning, but that's it. Now, if we want to grow in our relationship with the Lord, we need to be in the church more. If we want to grow and give Christ more of us, we need to be in church more. So if we desire to give more time this Christmas, spend more time in the house of God. And then finally, if we want to give our time to God this Christmas, spend it in the time in the act of service, the act of serving. You know, Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable in God, which is your reasonable service. Do you understand the least that you could do is to serve the Lord for what He has done for you? Ephesians 6:6-8 says, not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, as we serve, we need to serve first without show. As it says there, not with eye service. A servant of Christ is not to work just when someone is looking. They are the ones that seek the face of the boss. We are not to be those types of people, but we are to seek the only satisfaction that we should be seeking is that of God's. So we're never to serve with show. We're never to show. We're never to serve with a sincere. We're always to serve with a sincere heart. But as the service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So we must have the right mind and the attitude in order to serve as Christ commands us to. We are never to serve with an ill will or anything like that, but to serve with a desire to do it because of the love of Christ, and we desire to show the love of Christ to our brothers and sisters around us. So as we give our time to service in the Lord this Christmas, where can we serve? Well, I'm glad that you asked. And the first thing that we can do is serve in the church. Serve in the church. Men, you can serve through our men's ministry. You know, there are, we have many projects that we do throughout the year, whether it be building of ramps, whether it be do whatever it may be. But men, you can serve by helping the men in this church with different projects in the community. Whatever our widows needs or someone in the community needs, we try to meet those needs through the men's ministry. And there are many of you that are not serving men, and you can. Women, you can serve through the women's ministry. And if I'm not mistaken, there is a women's ministry meeting this coming week. And you can serve through the women's ministry. I can promise you this. You can serve through the building and grounds. Ask Jason Reynolds. He'll give you something to do around here if that is your desire, okay? But we can serve in the building and grounds. We can serve through the women's ministry. And we can serve through our outreach ministry, such as Awana's, such as Good News Club. Man, I'm needing help in Good News Club right now at Elkin and at CBL or both places. And you can help serve in those capacities. Feeding the elderly and all the other types of things that we do here at the church, you can do. But the question is, are you willing to give up your time in order to serve others? That's the question that we all must ask. Obviously, you can also not only serve in our church, but you can serve in the community. There are many ways in which you can serve. For example, like Lifeline Pregnancy, Tri-C, and different other organizations all throughout our community that you can give of your time in order to help others. Then we can think about serving in our state. And I'm not going to hearken on this because I spent a whole message last week talking about how we can serve to our West. And like I told you last week, the job is not done, and we will continue to go to our West. I was just this last Thursday, I was at the toy store, our Elkin Baptist Association toy store, and I was speaking with our pastors, and the Elkin Baptist Association is partnering with a church in Lansing, North Carolina, and we will be, you'll be hearing from us here in the next couple of weeks, but we will be partnering with that church in Lansing, who is a warehouse, basically, for people to come, and what they're wanting us to do is to take five or six 6 people from this area on a Tuesday, a Thursday, or a Saturday, or it may be Monday. They wasn't sure. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and we will be taking people from our churches and going up. Maybe Pleasant Hill takes a Tuesday. Macedonia will take a Thursday. Pleasant Ridge will take a Saturday. Whatever it is, and we'll be needing you to go up there, and all you're doing is just helping people as they come in to get supplies and all those things. And that's just one of the things that we're going to continue doing as the Lord gives us leadership. But that is one way that you can serve. Serve in our state, and finally serve outside of the state. But it all goes back to this. Are you willing to give your time to serve others? Well, my goodness, oh my word, I gotta hurry here. Not only do we see the gift of time, I believe that we need to give Christ this Christmas. But secondly, I believe we need to give the gift of talents. The gift of our talents. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I want to read a passage of scripture to you. As Paul was writing to the church there at Corinth, he wrote down these words talking about our spiritual gifts and our talents. Now let's read in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give unto you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now watch this in verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, in this passage of scripture, we understand that everyone that names the name of Christ is given a spiritual gift. You and I know, praise God, we're all not the same. We're all made different. God has gifted us and has given us talents to do different, many things. And if you want to bless the Lord, then you use your talents for the betterment of the kingdom of God. I believe there are some today that have the talent to teach. The talent to teach that are not teaching. There are some that have the talent to sing, and some of you are not. Praise God, our choir, it was almost full, but I still counted around 10, 11, or 12 seats that were still empty. And I believe that there are some of you that have the ability to sing and you are not doing it. And there are some of you that even in high school took chorus classes and were even in the, like at East Wilkes, even in the Madrigals, and you are not singing in our choir. You need to be singing because you have a talent and God has gifted you to use it for the betterment of the kingdom of God. So talent to teach, talent to sing, talent to play instruments, as Pruitt has been asking us to if you know how to play an instrument, come use your talent for the kingdom of God. The talent for the technology team. We need more people up there in our booth. The talent to organizational skills, the talent to cook. And there are many other things that I could say in this time. And there are all types of gifts that we all have and we can be using. And praise God, we're not all alike, but God has given us a gift and we need to be using it. And there is nothing sweeter to the Lord than for you to use your talents for his kingdom work. Listen, some of you are able to speak and are very outgoing, and you can use your talent of that outgoing personality to reach people with the gospel. Some of you are very quiet, and that's okay, but you can still reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the question is, will you use your talents for the betterment of the kingdom of God? So, this Christmas, God don't want no monetary value. He don't want the money. All of the money is his anyways. But what he wants is you. He wants you to give him your time, and he wants you to give him your talent. And when you do that, my dear brethren, as we see on Christmas morning and our loved ones open that gift and they scream with excitement and all those things, when you use your time and your talents for the Lord, that is what he is doing. He's very excited and very proud and very happy with you. And I don't know about you, but there's nobody else in this world that I'd rather make happy. I'd rather give joy than my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And so at this time, I'm going to ask Julie Reed to come up. And Julie's going to give you a way in which that you can use your time and your talents this coming week for something going on here very special in our church. Miss Julie?
Joe and I were talking this week, and I had no idea what he was going to speak on today. And Wednesday night, we were talking, and I said, you know, I need to let the church know what we need this weekend. I said, but it's not really an announcement. It's really an opportunity. And he said, well, it's funny you say that. And he began to tell me what God had laid on his heart. And that was kind of the conversation we'd had without either of us knowing, and that wasn't a coincidence. You know, this weekend we have a huge opportunity. And before COVID, Joe had this vision for this Life Nativity to be an outreach. And COVID hit and it kind of got put off. And Joe wouldn't let it go. He kept saying, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. And the purpose of it is not Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. It is not Julie Reed. It is not Joe Wood. It's to share the gospel of Jesus with people that are lost in this community. And so there's lots of things you can do this week, even if you're not signed up to be in it, but there's still things we need. And the first thing everybody can do, if you know Jesus, you can pray. Because it doesn't matter what we come out here and do this weekend. If the Holy Spirit's not in it and God's not in it, we're wasting our time. We're just here. So you can pray. And, you know, there's a long week ahead for a lot of the men that are building scenes and painting and doing things this week. And, you know, if you can't come help paint, but you can pray for them. You can pray for all those involved that we stay well and healthy and all of us have the right attitude, because it's going to be a lot of work and people are going to get tired. And then you can pray most of all for the people that are going to show up, that they will hear the message of Jesus. And if you're not one of those people who likes to interact and mingle with people, you know what? There's a whole hallway back here that you can get back here and pray all throughout the night, because the final place is this auditorium and Chris Carter is going to be sharing the gospel at the end, dressed as Peter. You know, what better way for you to serve than to go back here and pray that God's at work in people's hearts and that they'll choose, because Satan will distract them. The second thing, we need baked goods. And you say, why do they have to be baked? Well, kind of goes back to the whole idea of hospitality and how much do we care about people? You know, from the time they step foot on this property till they leave, we want to show them the love of Jesus, because that's why we're here. And if you can take the time to bake a cookie or brownies or cake or whatever it is and bring it, that's your way to serve. Maybe that's what God's gifted you with. We also need people to show up and be out here and greet people. We want people to feel welcomed, because if they don't feel welcomed and they don't feel loved and they don't feel like they belong, they're not going to hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to them in here. It's just going to be a show to them. So show up. And then the last thing, invite people. And there's several ways you can do that. There's some cards back there on the back you can take and pass out. There's an event on social media you can share. There's also a promo video yesterday that launched on social media that you can share and invite people to come. And, you know, last week, Joe asked a question near the end of his sermon, and it said something to the effect of, who's waiting on you? You know, there's people that we come in contact with every day waiting to hear about Jesus. And maybe you struggle with, how do I start this conversation? Bring them with you. It'll give you a conversation starter. If you've never been, it's not just Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. This is the whole life of Jesus, all the way through to the resurrection. And, you know, all of us, as Joe said, have gifts. And I ran across the quote that was in a devotion I read back in 2020 from Proverbs 31. And it said, God didn't give us these gifts for ourselves. He gave us the gifts for him. Our talents and gifts are given to us by God to serve those around us and ultimately to bring about gospel opportunities.
Thank you, Julie. In conclusion, I want to share two questions with you. I have talked about gifts this morning, and I've talked about how we can give Christ this Christmas our time and our talents. But before I go any further, I would like to ask a question in closing. Have you accepted the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind? And that is Jesus, our Savior and Lord. As we celebrate this Christmas, the birth of our Savior, we also celebrate what he did for us while he was here on earth. And that is to die for our sins and to resurrect the third day, giving us a chance at eternity. See, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. So we understand that there's no other way to go to heaven but through Christ. But praise God, the gift of heaven, the gift of eternal life is for everyone, because it said, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for just few of us, but he died for all of us. And he desires for you to accept his gift of salvation today. And if you are saved today, I ask one more time as we close in prayer, what gifts will you give Christ this Christmas? Will you give him your time? And will you give him your talents?